I'd like you, please, to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read several verses over there. I believe the word that I have is for now. I believe it's to encourage us. We've had an awesome fire worship, a fire conference, where the glory of God was here. I believe from that we've had many services where the glory of God has been. Like this morning, I believe the anointing is here this morning as well. But folk, I believe today is the day that we need to ask some questions. Some very real questions. Because it's the Word of God that gives us a great life. And that's what I've entitled this word this morning. And maybe it might be a bit long, but I'm going to try and keep it down to the time that I've been allocated. All right. If I were to ask you this morning, you can show your hands. It's not going to be an embarrassing question. How many of you would say you had a good life? How about a great life? Do we even know the definition of having a great life? You see, folk, if we don't, then how can we know if we have it or not? And let's turn right now to 2 Peter, because I believe that this scripture in 2 Peter is telling us there's seven things for which we need to acquire that will lead us to an awesome life. All right? There's seven things that are there. But let's go there first. And I'm going to start reading from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Note that. Precious promises. Promises were mentioned this morning. God has given us promises. And God is true to his word. He keeps his promises. All right. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence. Now, folk, when the word starts talking diligence, we need to sit up and take note. Because it means that we've got work to do. All right. And we've got to do it exceedingly well. And it says here, after that, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and have forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right. As long as I am in this tent, I stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. I believe this is one of the most important scriptures for every believer. A passage that must be studied time and time again. It covers great qualities and virtues of a Christian life. Peter says here that there are some things in our control that determine what kind of life we live. If they are there and they reside in our own power, we need to be figuring out how to use them. If those virtues are there, we need to know how to use them. This morning, I want to answer three questions that have the power to enhance your life. Sorry, it seems to have fallen down. What are these things that we need in our lives? There's a challenge to add these things to our life. The word add means in addition to God's great salvation, in addition to your salvation, in addition to your faith, you need to add these things to your life. And we need to give all diligence to adding them. We need to persevere. We need to have tenacity. We need to have boldness to step out in faith and begin to add these things to our lives. You see, there are a lot of people in church, in the churches today, who think they've received Jesus and that's the end all, be all and end all of it. They receive Jesus, accept their salvation, and they choose a chair or a pew, and they go and sit there. And that's where they've got saved, so that's it. So week after week, they come and they sit in that same chair, and they wonder why they're not experiencing the abundant life. Why am I not experiencing this awesome anointing today? Why am I not walking into the very presence of a living God on a daily basis? Why is it only on a Sunday when the worship team are really on fire that I feel it? Folk, when we are on fire with Jesus Christ and we're walking with the abundant life, we walk into the service and we know we're in the presence of a living God. We don't have to wait for the worship team to come and conjure up something within us. Because the Spirit of God is within us. So what are those things that we're missing out on? You see, being a child of God is not what you are, but it's who you are. We need to understand that. Who are you? You're a child of God. I no longer live by a spirit of fear because I am a child of the living God. If we're missing out on these good qualities, it's no one else's fault but our own. I believe there's seven qualities that we need to add to our faith. First one is virtue. Moral excellence and goodness of character. Moral strength and moral courage. Webster Dictionary says, a conformity to a standard of right. Morality, a particular moral excellence. And in our application this morning, It means always doing things in a Christian manner. The taxi pulls out in front of you. Lord bless him. Don't. Oh. So easy. You see, that's the lust of the world. It just pulls you in faster than what you can get out of it. Then there's knowledge. Knowledge of what? Go Google? No. You see, knowledge is a practical intelligence. A practical knowledge, a practical insight. It means knowing what to do in every situation and doing it. It is practical. Day-to-day knowledge that sees situations and knows how to handle them. According to virtue. Remember the challenge. We must add knowledge to our faith. How would Jesus deal with that situation? So how do we do that? Very simply, change our minds to conform to the mind of Christ. In Romans 12 verse 2 it says, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, in fact, the Bible's instructing us to get knowledge. And how are we going to do that? But by taking the Word of God and placing it not just here, but begin to live it from here. You see, in fact, that's where we start getting knowledge. Where it becomes a practical thing in our lives. Temperance. To master and control the body or the flesh with all its lusts. It means self-control. The word that we read this morning spoke of self-control. That's temperance. To be the master of our desires, our appetite, our passion, especially sensual urges and cravings. It means to be strong and controlled and restrained. It means to stand against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Many say, I cannot fight temptation. I don't have the willpower. I'm telling you this morning, if you are a child of God, you do. You do. So don't live a lie of the devil. No longer do you have to go into excess when you eat, which is gluttony. It's the same as anything else. All right? We don't have to. In Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So who of you say you cannot control yourself? I'm telling you, you can. You do have the willpower. Focus on Jesus Christ and you will have more willpower than you've ever had in your life before. See, we have to proclaim to this world, to the lost, self-control. The believer is to control his sexual desires. The believer is to strenuously exercise self-control, just as an athlete controls himself. You can't just get up and go and run the Comrades Marathon. You'll probably have a heart attack within the first 5 kilometers. You've got to work at it. You've got to control yourself. You've got to know what to do. And therefore, in our Christian walk, we have to do exactly the same. Peter tells us in this passage of Scripture that the believer is to grow in self-control. Patience. Lord have mercy. Patience means endurance, fortitude, steadfastness, consistency, perseverance. The word is not persuasive or passive. It's not passive. Patience is not passive, it's active. How active are we in our patience in certain situations? It's not the spirit that just sits back and puts up with trials of life and takes whatever may come. That's not what it is. Rather, it's the spirit that stands up and faces the life trials and actively goes about conquering and overcoming them. So if you're going through a trial right now, you need to actively stand up. You need to actively get involved and say, no more. I no longer have to live in the spirit of fear. Why? Because I'm actively going against it. Patiently, but actively coming against it and saying, that fear no longer exists. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Godliness is living like God and being a godly person. The word godliness actually means to live in the reverence and awe, in reverence and awe of God. To be so conscious of God's presence that one's life just lives just as if God were living with him and walking with him upon the earth. Folk, I believe this. That we need to be that. Everything you do, don't say, oh, you know, I know Jesus is coming, but I hope he doesn't come when I'm doing this and catches me at it. But can I tell you what? He's already caught you at it because he's with you right there and then. There's nothing that you do that God doesn't know about. We need to walk a godly life. To the point that everything we do, Jesus would be smiling and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Folks, that's the reverence that we walk in. That's when we're walking in the presence of a living God. That's when God is being exalted to his rightful place. It becomes an act of worship on our side towards the living God. Brotherly kindness. This is a very special love that exists between a brother and a sister. Within a loving family, brothers and sisters who truly cherish one another. It's a kind of love that binds us together as a family. We sing that song, bind us together, with cords that cannot be broken. It's talking about this brotherly kindness. It binds us in an unbreakable union. It holds together us together within our hearts. That knows the deep affection of one another. That nourishes and nurtures each other. In other words, we go out of our way to build and lift one another up to a higher place with the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows concerns and looks after the welfare of each other. How can people possibly love one another like this when they are not truly blood brothers and sisters? Here's how. The word used for love, this type of love, is philia. It's a Greek word. It means a deep-seated affection and caring, deep and warm feeling within the heart. But there's another word that is added to it that Peter uses here. It's a kind of love that holds people near and dear to our hearts. But the two words combined together by the author convey a meaning, the true meaning of brotherly love. People who have brotherly love have come from the same womb or the same source. What is our, where's our source? Jesus Christ. We're all in the presence of the living God. We are all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That's the same womb that draws us together. Therefore, we need to show one another brotherly kindness. We need to show one another that love that binds us together, that will never be broken apart. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I believe the seventh point, or the seventh virtue that we need, is this: love. The love of the mind, of the reason, of the will. It is the agape love of God, the love that goes so far. It's love, it loves regardless of your feelings. Whether the person feels like love or loving or not. It loves a person even if the person does not deserve to be loved. It actually loves a person who is utterly unworthy of being loved. There are significant points about agape love. Agape love is the love of God, the love possessed by God Himself. It's a love demonstrated in the cross of Christ. And if you've forgotten about the cross of Christ, then you don't know that love. It's a love of God for the ungodly. It's the love of God for the unworthy sinner. It's the love of God for the undeserved enemy. Agape love is a gift of God. And folk, when we're seeking this to add to our faith, we're seeking a gift that can only come from God. Because this is a love that covers all things. When we read in the Word, it says love covers a multitude of sins. That's the agape love of God, covering that sin. We forgive, we forget. It's no longer part of our lives. It's something in the past. We're moving forward because of Jesus Christ, because of His love. It can only be experienced by persons knowing God personally. And those of you who gave your life to Jesus Christ this morning, it's available for you. Because you have stepped out in faith and said, here am I. Lord Jesus, change my life. And He's going to say, I love you so much. Here it is. Your sins are wiped away. You're cleansed. You're a new person. You're a child of God. Agape love has to be shed abroad. In other words, needs to be poured out, needs to be sown out for all to receive. And I believe that's the task of what the Holy Spirit does for you and I. See, God wants it within the hearts of every person. In Romans 5:5 it says this, now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Agape love is a great position and gift in human life according to the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 13:13 it says this, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. The second question I want to ask you this morning is this. How powerful are these things? How powerful are these virtues that God wants us to add to our faith? We read in 1 Peter chapter 1. I believe they're powerful enough to change life from one of bitterness, sorrow, and self-pity into one of joy, happiness, and satisfaction. You see, folk, as the word tells us, man in his natural state is barren and unfruitful. Man is blind. He cannot see the purpose, the meaning, and the significance of life, and cannot be absolutely sure of tomorrow, much less about the infinite future. Man does not know how to deal with sin, or if he knows, he's unwilling to give up his sin. Man does not know how to keep from falling in life. And from failing, he does not know how to meet his full potential, how to control the problems of life, to bring love, peace, and joy to himself and his loved ones. Man does not know how to be perfectly assured of eternal life. Church, we need to note, all these things can be met perfectly in our lives. They are met if these things in 2 Peter chapter 1, 7 through 8, the virtue, patience, endurance, whatever it is, self-control. If all of that is added to your life, there is an abundance, and your heart will find that the needs are met. The word abound means to increase and grow. So God wants us to abound in those things, to increase those things in our life, to overflow it, and be filled with more, and even learn how to increase these things in our lives. In other words, do not be satisfied with your life as it is, with your present spiritual growth. Don't be satisfied with it, with staying where you are spiritually, with just knowing Jesus Christ, with doing no more than what you are. To have the needs of our hearts and lives met, we have to add these great qualities. If we abound in them, then the needs of our hearts will be met and fulfilled. Therefore, if we do these things, if we really work at our salvation, we will not live a barren life or a dry life. We will not be unfruitful, nor live a life that is empty and useless, idle and slothful. On the contrary, we will live a life that flows with nourishment and that bears the ripest fruit of joy and peace and love. See, the source of that source is in the very name of Jesus Christ. Our knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ must be our aim and purpose in life. If we diligently seek God, these promises in scriptures will lead us to being successful in fruit bearing. We won't be short-sighted and blind. Blind to what? blind to what we don't see. The purpose and the meaning and the significance of life. Folk, I want to say this to you. We're so blinded we don't know our purpose in life. We're so blinded we don't know that God has given us a purpose and He's given us the potential to fulfill it. We walk around, I believe that there's so much wealth lying in the graveyards. Probably the richest place in the whole of Krugersdorp or in every town. Why? Because there are goals and dreams that have never been done and never been met. People that have died because they've never reached their full potential. Why? Because they've never known their purpose and that God has given them that purpose and the potential to fulfill it. That's how blind we are. We will not forget that we have been cleansed from our old sins. Oh, sit up. It's time for us to take note. You're walking down the road and suddenly something comes up in your mind and you wonder, where did that come from? You've forgotten that. And suddenly it starts causing you to go into a spin. Because you've forgotten it. You forgot that you confessed. And Jesus says, in John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is righteous and just to remind us of it. No. Righteous and just to forgive us. Forgiveness means that He's forgotten about it. He will never remind you of it. He will never go to that dam where He's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness and go fishing. It's Satan that does that and he tries to bring you down. But if we walk in the ways of God with patience, with endurance, with love, with brotherly kindness, folk, I believe that cannot happen to us because we're children of God and God stops it before it even gets to you and puts you in a tailspin. Church, if we do not do these things, if we work at our salvation, we will not be blind. We will be able to see ahead. And we will be able to do what God wants us to do. We will not forget that we've been cleansed of our sins. You see, people who forget that they're cleansed of their sins backslide. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Folk, we cannot afford to backslide. It's not a part of God's kingdom. No longer, you can't put your hand to the plow and look backwards. Any farmer here will tell you, you're going to go like a jolly snake across your lands. You've got to look forward and know that's where you're going. We will never fail, or we will never fall. How often we come and we fall. There's a single trait that runs through all of human beings, and that is this, that we stumble, we're coming short and falling. People stumble and come short and fall in their marriages, in their family duties, in relationships, in work, in behavior, in their Christian life, in school, in responsibilities, in life, and in promises. How about in your devotion? In witnessing, in serving Christ, and in worship? How can we live without not doing what God's asked us and expect to live a fruitful life? Therefore, brethren, Be ever more diligent, making your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Folk, I believe that if we take those virtues on, those qualities, we will have that assurance of us, of eternal life. We will know that we're going to heaven. Because that assurance comes by being diligent in doing these things, in working out our salvation. I believe we will know that. And when we go to heaven, there's a richness waiting for us that goes beyond what we can ever think of. And as I conclude, I want to ask the final question and answer. How important are these things? Folk, I want to tell you this. They're so important that Peter has to mention it three times within five verses. He says, I'm going to ensure that you do these things diligently. I'm going to get people to preach about it continuously, until such time as you do it. He said, even before I get rid of my tent, in other words, get rid of this body and go up to eternity, I'm going to make sure that it is preached to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Folk, I believe that's how important this is. I believe that this church, we're doing exactly that. We need to stand up. We need to start doing what is preached. We need to take these virtues. We need to start adding them to our lives. Folks, this is important. This is so important that Peter says, I'm going to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. It's going to be preached that you preached until you start doing. Peter denied Jesus three times. And God, the Son, Jesus Christ, came to him in John 21, verse 15 and 18. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than he? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will guide you and carry you where you do not wish. Folk, I believe this morning we've had an awesome time in the presence of a living God. I believe God has brought something for us to take, to make our lives great. It's the Word of God that makes your life great. Okay? But there's something that we have to do. We as sheep have been fed this morning. And I believe this morning that we need to stand up together with sincere hearts and repeat every word that Pastor Keith is going to lead you in right now. I want us to stand right now. Stand up. We are children of the living God. Everyone here is a child of the living God. Okay? Am I right? Are we all children of the living God? Raise your hands if you are. Amen. We're children of the living God. Therefore, I believe we need to do this morning.
Just want to remind you of those virtues from 2 Peter chapter 1. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And then it goes down to verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the altar call we had this morning, nothing about the people that came forward, no problem. But somewhere in our lives, something has gone wrong, and we have not applied the principles of God's word. Now God is gracious, and that is why we can come forward and recommit our lives to Him. But there's a level of responsibility that David spoke about this morning, and the Lord is calling us to that responsibility. So repeat this after me, and Dave asked me to do this as the pastor and the lead pastor. So this goes for me and it goes for us as a congregation. It's a personal commitment for each of us. Say this with me. This is my church.
This is my church.
It is composed of people just like me.
It is composed of people just like me.
It will be friendly if I am.
It will be friendly if I am.
It will do a great work if I work.
It will do a great work if I work.
It will make generous gifts to many causes.
It will make generous gifts to many causes.
If I am generous.
If I am generous.
It will bring others into its fellowship.
It will bring others into its fellowship.
If I bring them.
If I bring them.
Its seats will be filled.
Its seats will be filled.
If I fill them.
If I fill them.
It will be a church of loyalty and love.
It will be a church of loyalty and love.
Of faith and service.
Of faith.
If I, who make it what it is,
if I, who make it what it is,
are filled with these,
are filled with these.
Therefore, with God's help,
therefore, with God's help,
I dedicate myself,
I dedicate myself,
to the task of being all these things,
the task of being all these things.
I want my church to be.
I want my church to be.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to say it goes beyond this church. It goes to our personal lives. So, in fact, from our personal lives, it will flow into the church. Thank you, Dave, for that encouraging message. You see, the Lord has been speaking to us. He's been speaking to us about reaching the lost, about going out there. I've got a people in the city. I've been talking about the fire in our lives. But we also sometimes need to move on from that into the meat of the word. We've got some of that meat this morning. What does my own personal walk with the Lord look like? Thank you, Dave.
Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful service. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, and we thank you for the word that has been spoken. And I pray, Lord, that even as we leave this assembly, we pray, Lord, that you will be with us. As we leave our comfort zones and enter into the mission field, I ask that you will be with us and go with us in this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.